Hi there, hope all is well in your world. It's been quite a hectic, just a week, a couple of weeks. We have been out at lots of client meetings, which is fantastic. There's nothing more exciting than seeing our clients and understanding their needs. And one of the things that has come up a few times actually in the last couple of weeks is around building meaningful relationships with clients. Not just for us as XL Communications, but for our clients as well. A lot of them are working in sort of service industry, and in this world of ever-increasing technology, where the majority of business is done via email or over the phone or by video conference, it's actually quite challenging to build very meaningful, connected relationships with clients. So I thought this would be a really good topic for me to share with you, particularly given my experience as an account director over the last few years, around how we can make connections, make meaningful relationships with our clients. So let's get going. Welcome to Learn, Grow, Succeed, the Leadership Podcast, and I'm your host, Rachel Hewitt-Hall. If you want to become the extraordinary leader today's organisations need, then listen in now as we share the latest leadership insights and techniques from around the globe. So it was my 13-year anniversary last week. Can you believe it? I've been at XL Communications for 13 years. And I've been reflecting over that time, the progress I've made through the business and the relationships that I've developed, not just with my colleagues, but actually more particularly with my clients, and how my journey through the business led me to my account director position, where I was doing a lot more client-facing work. And in that time, I was very successful, if I may say so myself. I was an incredibly successful account director. And a lot of people would ask me, what makes you so successful, Rach? What makes you different from everybody else? How are you, how are you building these relationships with your clients that are so meaningful, that builds kind of, loyalty and rapport, and just makes business fun? If you have good relationships with clients, it makes work so much more fun. And I do love our clients, and I love the work that that we do, particularly when we're out meeting clients, which actually is a rarity these days, let's be honest, as most of the business, particularly that we do, because it is global, is often done over the phone or via email. So it's all remote a lot of the time, which makes actually building relationships a lot more challenging. But that's all part of the fun. And without a doubt, having a great range of training programs and the support of a focused customer service team are absolutely vital. It's really important. However, I do believe that the main differentiator between good and great is undoubtedly being, has undoubtedly been my relationships with customers. And I think you can probably tell from just my voice how excited I am about this topic and how passionate I feel about it. And this is just as true in any industry. It's not just the training industry, particularly in our, connected world, where there are a lot of ways for us to connect with each other. So I thought it'd be helpful for me to share with you just some kind of top tips around building meaningful relationships. So here we go. So the first one is really to understand your own organisation and what you offer. It's really important. So, there is a well-known presupposition that suggests we start with the end in mind. And this is really particularly important when it comes to delivering what our customers want. All too often, organisations forget the value that they add and how they communicate the way they interact with their customers. So, for example, at XL, we've the ability to deliver training in multiple languages across the globe through our team of fabulous trainers. And this is important for many organisations who want, a consistent approach to training but across the globe, that can also be tailored to local markets. Which brings me really to the next fundamental step, which is about understanding your customer. So, you know, it's really easy for us to make assumptions about our customers and what might be important to them, or what their key challenges might be in their business sector. But consequently, in-depth research before you meet a client will help give you an understanding of some of the issues that they may face. But you're not the expert of your client. You know, you don't understand their world completely. Yes, we can learn things. Yes, we can gather information over time and through various different resources. But just don't make assumptions about your customer. Really, the way to do this is to ask great questions, and understanding how you'll find out more about your customer. And this will give you a much more comprehensive insight into their world, and it will help you stop making assumptions about them. So it's really, really important. And then I guess the other one that I feel is certainly particularly my style is about being a problem solver. So, you know, if you want to build rapport with your customers fast, you know, make sure you are a problem solver. You know, although it's nice to think that customers might be impressed with your product range or your service, what's actually most important to them? And the question that's in their heads is, you know, can this person solve a problem for me? Can they make my life easier? Because let's face it, that's what we all want. That's what we're all really paying for, isn't it? You know, people to make our lives easier and to provide us with something that we can't do ourselves. So the pre-research you'll have carried out along with, you know, skillful questioning, you know, will help you to demonstrate this in a way that will, I know, enable you to enable your customer to experience those breakthrough and light bulb moments that, you know, invariably are the catalyst to your customer saying, when can we start? So, you know, establishing yourself as a great problem solver will involve you demonstrating your own communication excellence, which I'll expand on a little bit more in a minute. But, you know, I think it's really important that when we're trying to solve problems, it's not necessarily just about our own element that the client might be talking about. So I always say to my clients, look, you know, we have a wide network of people that we've built up over the last 30 plus years. And the chances are that if we don't know the answer or if we can't help, we probably know someone who can. So don't just think of us for specific training like leadership and management development, for example. But if you've got a question around, you know, how can I build a competency framework, you know, or how can I develop a field visit process system? You know, we do have experience of that. It might not be our area of expertise, but we do know people in our network that can help. And I do believe that, you know, reciprocity is key. You know, I believe that if I share something with my client, if my client feels valued and that, you know, I'm not always just trying to get something from them, this is a genuine partnership, it's a genuine win-win situation, then, you know, there's nothing that pleases me more than trying to solve a problem for my client, even if it doesn't result in necessarily a piece of training, for example. But, you know, I think that's what's helped me personally to develop these much kind of more deeper, more connected relationships, because for me it's not just transactional. You know, I do genuinely care about people and I want to help. So being a problem solver is really, really key. I guess going back to the bit around, you know, communication excellence, you know, it's really important to think about flexing your style. In today's, you know, diverse workplace, you know, it's culturally and educationally diverse. You know, the more versatile we can be, the more success we'll have. So when you meet a customer for the first time, look for behavioural cues that will help you to recognise their preferred style of communication. And you know you can get these even before you meet them. You can get them in emails and you can get them from the phone. You know, we have our social styles programme, which really helps to develop an understanding around the different social styles people have and understanding some of those behavioural cues that help us to identify their preference. And if you're able to mirror and match someone's body language, their voice tonality, the speed at which they're talking, you know, reflect back some of their language, this is going to build rapport more quickly, and it does create stronger, longer lasting relationships and partnerships at the end of the day. So really looking at flexing your style, it is a skill, but it can absolutely be learned over time, you know, is really important. So really look at your customer and think, you know, how are they speaking, how are they dressing, how are they you know, portraying themselves, what language are they using, how short are their emails, how long are their emails, how much content is in their emails. All of these things tell you something, and if you can flex your style and be more versatile, this will make you undoubtedly more successful in building those relationships. And one other thing that I think is just absolutely vital is second positioning your client. So stepping into their shoes, you know, take time to understand their world and importantly, how they perceive it. You know, their perception will most certainly be different from yours. You know, there'll be a few questions that I might ask myself to help give me insight into how a client may be thinking and perceiving what's happening for them. And these might work for you. So let me share them with you. So first one is, you know, what are the short and long term implications of the client's problem? You know, what impact will this have on my client's team, their colleagues, their company? So, you know, as a result of what's going on for them, how is this impacting them? You know, what will happen if they decide to continue as they are? I think one of the great questions that I've developed over the years is, you know, what's stopping you from changing? What's stopping you from doing things differently? Because it is easy for us to stay the same and stay in the patterns that we are, but actually it's not helping us. So, you know, I think asking a client what will happen if they don't do anything, what are the consequences of not doing anything, is a fabulous question to ask. You know, and actually, you know, what are the short and long term implications of solving this problem? So, you know, if we do, for example, you know, you've got a team of managers who are not communicating, they're not sharing, they're not collaborating, they're all working in silos. You know, what are the implications of that, not just short term, but long term? And, you know, if we're to do something about this, if they were to have some training, some coaching, how might things be differently in the future? So I think, you know, really understanding things from your client's perspective, you know, having empathy and compassion is something that comes naturally to some, but you can, it is something that you can learn over time. But I do genuinely care about my clients and I genuinely care about the results that they get. And I think, you know, when you have this opportunity to really understand what's going on for them, it will have surprising results for you. The other skill, and this is a skill, is really actively listen. I think, you know, I know in my early days in account, when I was an account director, you know, I felt like I had so much to say that I might jump in and not quite listen to the client. And that really isn't very helpful, because actually what I should be doing is listening to the customer's language, you know, the phrases they're using, so that I can then reflect this back to them. So that they know that I really have listened and understood. And it says to the client, I speak your language. And also, I think it's really rare these days for people to genuinely feel heard, to genuinely feel listened to without interruption. So don't interrupt, listen wholeheartedly, and really listen out for the phrases and the language that the client is using and reflect those back. And then finally, you know, exceed expectations, not manage them, exceed them. So, you know, this is a really underutilized strategy that I think a lot of people forget. And in my experience, customers do appreciate the fact that we are all human beings and we all need to be realistic about what we can deliver. So, you know, I will never tell a client I will deliver something if I can't. And I'm always telling my team, you know, look, manage the client's expectations in terms of your timelines. So if you, for example, have a proposal to do, so you come away from a client meeting and they've asked for a proposal, you know, at the end of that meeting, you ask, you know, when do you need this by? And they say, I want it by Friday, and it's Tuesday. Be realistic and don't be afraid to push back to the client. You know, if that's not going to be realistic, if you've got other things on, you know, don't be afraid to say to the client, actually, you know, that's going to be a bit tight for me. Could we push it to Tuesday, for example? You know, and see what the client says. I, in my experience, a lot of clients who ask for proposal turnarounds very quickly actually don't even look at them, and then you don't hear from them for like 2 or 3 months because other priorities pop up. But don't be afraid to push back on timelines, because do you know what would be worse is for you to agree to that and miss that timeline, or rush it and do a shoddy job, because then you're not doing anyone any favours. So be realistic, manage those expectations, and it's that key one of under promise and over deliver. I can't stress that enough. Under promise and over deliver. So whenever I speak to my client about a timeline around getting a proposal to them, for example, I will always give them a deadline when I know that I can bring that forward by a couple of days. So actually they might be expecting something on Friday, but I know that actually they'll get it on Wednesday. And therefore, hopefully that means a very happy and impressed client. So, you know, can't stress that enough. Exceed expectations. This will make the customer feel valued, and also means that you're really trustworthy. So that kind of concludes some of the top tips that I have. I think you can sense my passion for this. I've got a wealth of experience, a wealth of stories I can share. So if you want to chat more about it, if you want to share any of your experiences with me, please do drop me a line, rachel.hewitt-hall@excel-communications.com. Love to hear from you. As always, go to the website if you want any further resources. There's plenty for you on there. And look forward to speaking with you next time. All the best.